We're holding in Menorat HaMa'or, page Taf Beis, the third candle, Ner Gimel, Klal Ches, the eighth rules, Chelek Gimel, we're in the third portion of the book, Perek Vav, the sixth chapter, and we're going to enter the story of Rebbe's passing. Mari Abuhav, Rav Yitzchak Abuhav, the great genius who lived shortly before the Beis Yosef, he's putting together the different midrashim and gemaras about the importance of eulogizing the dead, of accompanying the dead as we bring them to burial. So he says like this: Maspidim, we eulogize letzadikim, for the righteous when they pass away, v'gam lachim, also to others. Kshomdim sham chachamim, when you have wise men standing there, bevatei knesiot, we do it even in shuls, even in synagogues, mipnei kvodan, out of honor to them. And now he's going to quote a Gemara in Megillah, Tano Rabbanan, we have a Tanaik quote, batei knesiot, when it comes to shuls, en nogin ben kalut rosh, one may not act in a light-headed fashion in a synagogue. Ven ochlin ven, you don't eat them in a shul, in a synagogue, ven shotin ven, you don't drink there. Ven otin ben, and if you need a place to get up for your wedding, a lot of guys come here to get ready for their wedding. Kalas, chasanim, you need place to get all set up, your gown and everything, and take a shower and iron your shirt and whatever it is. So you don't say, well, the shul, that's a nice place, open area. No, that's, you don't get ready there. Then mitarin ben, and if you want to go for a date, you want to go for a walk with the girl, instead of going to Center One, let's go to the synagogue. You know, I used to live in the Lower East Side. Over there, people come to take a tour of the synagogues. You have beautiful synagogues there. So you don't do that.
You can't take a tour of the synagogue?
You don't go for a walk in a synagogue.
Well,
yeah, I don't. Okay. So when it comes to a shul, we're supposed to treat it with honor. One may not enter on a sunny day to escape the sun or to enjoy the air conditioning, or during the rain because of the rain. So ordinarily, we're not supposed to use a shul for our own personal use, and people are not aware of this. People think, I'll get married in a shul. It's not clear whether it's permitted to get married in a shul. There were rabbis who would not officiate a wedding that was done in a shul because they said that's going like the non-Jews. That's the Reform movement introduced this concept. Sometimes in ancient times, people had no halls. The community was very poor, and they had to use the shul if it was winter or the shul courtyard. So there were times where it was done. But this new thing that people use a shul to get married, this isn't something that was done. And even a bris. Ordinarily, we don't do bris in shul. The only reason why you'll see many britot done in shuls is because our sages said we could be lenient. And even though the rule is you don't use a shul for any personal use, but being that the congregation is all gathered in shul for prayer already, so we say, we'll allow this leniency to perform this great mitzvah of a bris milah in a shul because the congregation is already there. But let's say a guy is going to make a bris milah at 12 o'clock in the afternoon or 5 o'clock in the evening. He shouldn't wait that late, but let's say for whatever reason he's going to make a late day bris at 5 o'clock. So, and then he tells everyone, gather in shul, we'll make the bris. That's a mistake. The leniency that permits us to use a shul for these purposes is only because the shul is being used for, everyone's already gathered there for prayer, so we say, okay, stay and perform the mitzvah there. But if anyone's anyways going to the hall to eat, so then what's the point in doing the bris in the shul? It's a leniency that we permit a bris to be done in a shul, or that we a wedding, so some allow and some don't allow. So here, this is one of the sources, this Tanakh quote that says you're not allowed to be lightheaded in a shul. We don't eat there, we don't drink there. Now notice we're talking about a shul, not a base midrash.
Right.
Most shuls today, we don't make shuls. Most shuls today, when we make shuls, we make base midrash that's used for prayer. Because in a base medrash, we can be more lenient. We could say a guy who spends his day learning, that's his home, so he's allowed to take a snack in a base medrash. He's allowed to grab a drink. So that's why today when they make shuls, usually they make it into a base medrash that's used for prayer, so that we could be slightly more lenient there. But even there, it's only slightly more lenient.
What if you're chewing when you're walking into the base medrash?
Okay. I think that would be okay.
Kind of eating in the base medrash because you're just chewing on what you ate when you're walking in.
I think that would be okay. So the en maspidin ben espet sheyachid, but the rule is that we don't eulogize a eulogy for an individual in a shul ordinarily. Aval, what do we do in a shul? Korin Behen. We do read Torah in the shul. If we want to gather and have a class in learning Torah, Vishonin Behen, we learn Mishnah. Umaspidin Behen Esped Shel Rabim. Now we may have a public eulogy in a shul. So just one second. We're continuing here with the quote. We said that what do we do in a shul? We learn Torah, we learn Mishnah, and we may eulogize a eulogy that's a eulogy of the masses. And that's a Talmud Chacham that passed away. So everyone has to gather to the eulogy, and a proper fitting place for everyone to gather for the eulogy of a Talmud Chacham is in a shul.
Are there different levels of Talmud?
Yeah, we'll get there.
Like, learned today that, like, Rosh Brong said, Rav Bigon says one of the categories of a Talmud Chacham in order to, like, not eat in the standing is if you've been yeshiva for a year.
Okay.
But, like, it seems like that would not be enough to have a eulogy in a shul.
Right. So there are different levels of Talmud Chacham. We'll see as we go along. We shall see as we go along. The Gemara says that when they'd read this Tanakh quote, Machve Rav Chista, Rav Chista used to point, Kigonespeda dekaim be Rav Sheshet, like a eulogy that Rav Sheshet would be present. If Rav Sheshet is present, then it's a massive eulogy. Machve Rav Sheshet would point, Kigonespeda dekaim be Rav Chista, like a eulogy that Rav Chista is present. Seitron pointed the other one. Rav Sheshet, by the way, was blind. He couldn't see, and he was one of the greatest sages. Rav Chista was the father-in-law of Rava. Rava married his daughter. And Rav Chista was a very big tzaddik, and his merit, Rava would get man every day.
Man.
Rafram bar Papa sabda lechalete bevekenishta. Rafram, the son of Papa, Rav Papa was two generations down. He was a disciple of Rava's, who was the son-in-law of Rav Chista's. So, Rav Sheshet pointed to Rav Chista, and Rav Chista pointed to Rav Sheshet, that if they're present at the eulogy, then the masses are coming. Rafram Bar Papa, he eulogized for his daughter-in-law in a shul. Amari said, "Im shumikara didi," either because people will come out of respect for me, out of honor for me, they'll come for my daughter-in-law's eulogy. "Im shumikara dida," Demita, or out of respect for her, she's such a worthwhile woman that she deserves to have her eulogy in a shul. See, even though she was a woman, Rafram Bar Papa gave her eulogy, his daughter-in-law, in the shul. He said the masses are going to gather in honor, regardless whether it's my honor or her honor, either one of us. Bottom line, the masses are coming in honor of the deceased, and the eulogy will take place in the shul.
Is there too much?
In that generation already they didn't have the Efer Parah Adumah, so it wasn't so relevant, the Tumah. Rabbi Zera Safdelo Merabanan Bevechenishta. Rabbi Zera eulogized one of the students in a shul, Imishumikar Didi, Imishumikar Didi Demit, Atukule Alma, because Rabbi Zera said, either out of respect for me or respect for him, there are going to be masses at this eulogy. Reish Lakish, Safdelo Hudetani Hirkita Besim Abba Shurata. Reish Lakish, he eulogized for a person who he taught halachos with 24 rows of students before him, so he gave him a eulogy in a shul. He considered that a big enough rabbi to deserve it. Reish Lakish said, "Whoa, the land of Israel lost a great man." So this person who could quote Gemara, could teach halacha in 24 rows, 24 rows of students, he deserved the eulogy in a synagogue. There was a person who he had learned all of the Gemara, all the Sifra, all the Sifri, all the Tosefta, so he knew much more than this other guy, this other rabbi, and he passed away. They came to Rav Nachman in Babylon and they said, "Would you eulogize for this rabbi who passed away?" He said, "How am I going to eulogize him? Haitanad dimnei sifrei dechasav. This basket that was filled with books that passed away. He didn't know what he's talking about. He didn't learn by the rabbis. He just knew a lot of Mishnayos and all kinds of Tanakh quotes by heart. So he's like a bookcase. All he's got is a good memory. He doesn't deserve an exceptional eulogy." So even though he knew all the Gemara by heart, all the Mishnah, he said, yeah, fine. So he's a tape recorder. He's got a photographic memory. He could spit back whatever he hears. That doesn't deserve a eulogy in shul. Says the Gemara, Tachazet, come take a look. Ma ben tkipe dara yudhi salech sideh bavet. What the difference is between the powerful in Israel and the pious in Babylon. In Israel, a guy could teach, he's got 24 rows, then he gives classes. In Babylon, they say, no, so he knows so much, but he's only like a basket. So he's got the Torah in him. V'tamid racham ha-niftar u'tashmish kedusha k'mo tik shesef Torah. We say that when a sage passes away, so we treat him like a vessel of holiness that's worn thin, like the encasing of a Sefer Torah. You know, Sefer Torah, Sfardim have the hard encasing, Ashkenazim have the velvet, the material encasing, but we have something, some material, that's serving something holy. That's called Tashmishei Kedusha. So then we say that a Talmid Chacham that passes away is also like Tashmishei Kedusha, which is a very interesting concept. We treat him like that was a vessel that held holiness. This has halachic implications. The gam sevkar shebanagon zinimo. And if we have a Sefer Torah that wore thin, that has to be buried, it's no longer usable, we bury it together with the Talmud Chacham. Kidamrinan hatam, like we have a Gemara that says, Amar Rava, Rava Torah, Sefer Torah shebala, when a Sefer Torah wears thin and it's no longer good, gonzinto atzeh Talmud Chacham. We bury it together with Talmud Chacham. Vafidu shana halachot, even as someone who only knew to quote halacha. He wasn't the biggest sage, but he knew that much. A Sefer Torah can be buried with him. We don't just bury a Sefer Torah on the ground. We bury it in an earthenware vessel, so it should last a long time. They'd also set up a place of learning by the Talmud Chacham's burial plot. So, out of honor for the Talmud Chacham, they'd have learning over there going on by his where he is buried. Yeah.
We're talking about some of the Torah that lost letters and
that wore thin so badly that you can't fix it. Doesn't make sense to fix it anymore.
Right. So, technically, it's not a Sefer Torah anymore.
It's a Sefer Torah that's been disqualified. Yeah. The verse describes the chavod asu lo b'moto, that they did an honor for, I think it was Chizkiyo, we'll see in a second, when he passed away. What was the honor? Rav Amar Shoshivi Yeshiva Li Kivro. Rav says that they sat and learned by his burial plot. One says that they stayed there for one day learning by his burial plot, one says for 3 days, and one says for seven. And one says for 70. And these, by the way, are the levels of mourning and levels of happiness. We have a balance in this world. When a person gets married, that's the extreme happiness. We say the greatest happiness is the day of marriage. And then the first 3 days have a second level of happiness. And the first 7 days, they have a third level of happiness. The first 30 days, they have a fourth level of happiness. And the first year, that has a fifth level of happiness. And the rest of the life has the rest of happiness. The opposite end of the spectrum is in sadness. We say when a person passes away, so the day of the passing is the greatest level of sadness. The first 3 days are the second level of sadness, and that's why only close friends come in the first 3 days. After the first 7 days, the next four, that's a next level of sadness, and then you have 30 days, and then a year. So the question is, how long did they sit by his grave learning? So one opinion says a day, one opinion says 3, 7, and 30. Yeah.
Isn't that also, aren't we commanded to mourn for a certain period of time, a certain type of person?
Yep. Tamid Raham Shemet, if a sage passes away, bet midrasho batel, then the place where he taught is closed. When Rabbi Israeli passed away, they closed Merkaz Rab. Closed the lights, closed the doors, the base medrash is closed.
How long?
I think for the Shiva, for the 7 days. Wow. So everyone had to find different shuls to go learn in. He was the Rosh Yeshiva of the Yeshiva. He passed away. So they closed the Yeshiva. That's the honor of the Talmud Chacham. He passed away, his Beis Medrash stops. Av Bet Din Shemet, if the head of the courts passes away, Batei Midrashot Shvi Rov Mtedin, all the Beit Medrash in the city stop learning.
So do they learn at home? Or what do they do?
One second, we can't learn when that door is open, we can't learn. Just should not. Yeah, they learn at home, they learn in shuls, but the base medrash is closed. If the head of the court passes away, so we close down all the bate medrash in the city. And everyone from shul changes their place as a sign of mourning. Nasi shemet, if the nasi, the prince, passes away, so everyone has to become tamik for him. That's how we have a Pesach where everyone's tamei, because if the nasi passes away, everyone has to become tamei and participate in his eulogy.
Well, of course, it's always li kohanim.
Right, without kohanim. With it, kohanim is a separate discussion.
When my grandfather passed away, we switched seats, and my mother said we're not never going back there. That's what my grandfather did. We're never going back to those seats. But here, do they go back to the seats afterwards?
Yeah.
Sorry, my question, Rob, wasn't. Kohanims also get tameh?
So in general, we're going to say not, and maybe one day we'll have a discussion when you. Doesn't matter. It's okay. Uchat tzaddik netal mina olam malachei sharet yotzi nikato. When a tzaddik passes away from the world, so the angels of peace come to greet him. Umkablin tov shalom la lotov shalom shiva shemala. They greet him with peace to bring him up in peace to the yeshiva in heavens. And now we're hitting the point where I wanted us to reach. The Tanakh quote about the happenings when Rebbe passed away. Did everyone get two slices? Not yet. So there's one left in there. Okay. How many? Lars, are you taking? Okay. So you could pass me those two. You guys could each take a slice from here. Hold on. So we have a Tanakh quote, and we're going to record now the story of what happened when Rebbe passed away. Beshat tirato shel Rebbe, when Rebbe was passing from the world, Amal, he called out, Levanai ani tzarich, I need my sons. Now, this is a short version, and over the next paragraphs, we're going to expand on this short version, what really happened here. This is the Tanai quote, and as usual, Tanai quotes are shorter. And then the Gemara expands on it. So when Rebbe was about to pass away, he said, I need my sons. Nichnasu v'nav etzlo, his sons walked in. Amar lehem, hizahu b'chvodimchem. He told them, be careful with regard to honoring your mother. Ner yeh daluk b'mkomo. Make sure that a candle is always lit where in my place. Shulchan. So, Tanor Rabbanan, we have the Tanai quote, Bishap Tirto Shel Rebbe, when Rebbe was passing, Amar Levanai Nitzri, said, I need my sons. Nechnesu v'nav etzlo, his sons came in, Amar Lehem, Yizahru b'chvod imchem. Told him, be careful with regard to honoring your mother. Ner yeh daluk b'mkomi, a candle, a lamp should be lit in my place. Shulchan yaruch b'mkomo, the table should be set in its place. Mitat emtzat b'mkoma, let the bed be set in its place. Yosef Ofni v'Shimon Efrati, hem shemshunim b'chayai, hem yeshemshunim b'mati. The two people who served me, Yosef Chofni and Shimon Efrati, they served me, they were my servants when I was alive, they should serve me in my death. So now the Gemara is going to analyze this. What's he telling his kids? Be careful with regard to honoring your mother. That's biblical. He has to tell them to keep a mitzvah. The Torah says, honor your father and mother. So the Gemara says, it wasn't their mother. It was the second wife that Rebbe married. His first wife must have passed in his lifetime. Their mother passed away. He married a second wife. The Gemara says, but that's also biblical. When it says honor your father, it adds the word et, and that's to teach us that his wife, even if she isn't your mother, that's also part of honoring him. And we also derive that you have to honor your mother's husband, even that's part of honoring your mother, and your older brother. So the Gemara says, that's part of honoring him in his life, it's honoring his wife. But once he dies, you don't have to honor his wife that after he passes if she wasn't the person's mother. That's why he had to tell him, please honor my wife. And he called her their mother. Interesting. He said, honor your mother. She wasn't really their biological mother, but being that she was his wife, he hasn't honored. A lamp should be lit in its place. The table should be set in its place. My time. Why? Kol beishim she'deshabat avate levete. Every Friday afternoon, Rebbe would come back home. After he passed away, every Friday afternoon, he'd come back home. Yom achad, ata chevevate v'kakaya ababa. Amra le'amte, shtik t'rebi yatev. One day, someone came and started reading by the door, and the maid said, be quiet, Rebbe's here. Shama Rebbe. Rebbe heard that the maid is telling people outside that he's around, even though he passed away. Betulata, he never returned. Why? That people shouldn't say the earlier generations of tzaddikim, they weren't so pious, they didn't come back after their passing. So Rebbe, once he heard that people here, he didn't come again. Yosef Hofni v'Shimon Nefatim Shimshunu b'Chayayim Shimshunu b'Moti. Rebbe said the two people who served me in my life should serve me in my death. Savu minali asuke be v'hai anma. So everyone thought he meant when he passes away they'll serve. Kevan dechazu dekadim alsayu l'arse. When people saw that they passed away before Rebbe, amre. So people said Shema minali hu anma udama. The Rebbe must have meant in the world to come they'll serve me just like they serve me in this world. V'hai d'amer achi. So why did he say this? Why did Rebbe say they should serve me? Ki hechid lolemu milta avabu. People shouldn't say, you know why they died when Rebbe was about to die? Because they really deserved to die a long time ago. And the only reason they stayed alive is because Rebbe was around in his merit. So Rebbe said, they should serve me. Rebbe foresaw that they're going to pass away. And Rebbe didn't want people to go around talking that they weren't righteous people. So Rebbe said, they should serve me. He spoke that way so that people should realize that that they weren't sinful people, they were good people. Then Rebbe said, I need the wise men of Israel. So the wise men entered. Rebbe told them, don't eulogize me in the cities. In the little cities, don't eulogize me. And make sure people get back to the yeshiva after 30 days. Shimon b'ni, meaning don't deal with eulogizing me beyond 30 days, day and night. Shimon bini, my son Shimon, he's the chacham. Gamliel bini, but Gamliel, my son, he's nasi. He's going to be the prince. He's taking my place as the leader. Chanina bar Chama yishev berosh, and Chanina bar Chama will sit at the head of the yeshiva. Al tispeduni b'ayirot. Why did Rebbe say, don't eulogize me in the small city Sevum? And I'm shum tichau de kamal. They thought he meant, don't bother. Kevan dechazut dekasafte bakachim v'kate kule alma. When they saw that in the big cities, they did eulogize Rebbe, and everyone came from the minor cities to the big cities for the eulogies, so they realized that Amrei Shema Minam Shum Ikaru Damar, that Rebbe said it because he wanted everyone to gather out of honor. So here the question is, what? Rebbe is searching for honor? So I heard a beautiful pshat. Rav Stav from Kerem B'Yavne said this past Tisha B'Av. He said that when we eulogize and when we mourn over something, what we're in effect doing is we're continuing the life of that thing. You could bury something and then the thing is dead. You bury something so it's dead, it's in its own place. And if you eulogize, if we mourn, if we speak about and reconnect to the thing that left, so then we're really keeping it alive. That's part of, he was explaining that that's part of what we're doing on Tisha B'Av. And he expanded it to this Gemara. He quoted this Gemara and he said that's why Rebbe wanted the eulogies, because he knew that was a continuation of his life when people were mourning him. So he told them, he said, after 30 days, get back to your learning. He said, I'm no better than Moshe. Regarding Moshe, it says, the Jewish people wept over Moshe's passing for 30 days. Till 30 days, they eulogized Moshe day and night. After 30 days, for a whole year, they continued eulogizing Moshe all day long. But at night, they do their learning. So the same thing they did with Rebbe. Safdi Belelia, what?
Was it different?
I don't know.
I thought it was different for Aaron than for Moshe.
It was different in the who was mourning. That everyone was unified and crying over Aaron's passing. But this aspect, I don't know.
For the same number of days?
It also says, I don't know, I don't remember. I don't remember. So after Moshe's passing and after Rebbe's passing, they divided it after 30 days. The rest of the year, they'd spend part of the nights eulogizing and the days learning, part of the days eulogizing and the nights learning. Ad desaf le'tresay achashat, until they eulogize 12 months a year. Ha'u yom ad ashkevei d'Rebbe, the day that Rebbe passed away, nefak batkala v'amra, a heavenly voice came out and said, kol man da'ave ba'ashkevite d'Rebbe m'suman chay olam ba. Everyone that was there present when Rebbe passed away is entering the world to come. There was this launderer who used to attend Rebbe's home every day when Rebbe would lecture. On the day Rebbe passed, he wasn't around. When he heard this heavenly voice said, whoever was there merits the world to come. So he said, shucks, I missed it today. Every day I'm there. Today, just today, I missed it. Selik li gana falu mit. He went up to the rooftop in depression and fell and died. Yatsa bat kol v'amra. The heavenly voice came out and said, af kovesem zman chay olam ba. This launderer is also entering the world to come. Rabbi Yatzet Shimon b'ni Chacham. Rabbi Yatzet Shimon, my son, is going to be the wise man in that aspect of leadership. Mai kama, what was he saying? Hachi kama. What he meant to say is, afat b'she Shimon b'ni Chacham. Even though Shimon, my son, is the wise one, Gamliel b'ni Nasi, my son Gamliel, is nonetheless going to be the leader. Amma Levi tzicha l'meima. Levi says, what's the point of saying that? Rabbi Gamliel was the older son. Rabbi told him, of course, he needed to say it. He needed it just like your limp. Levi used to limp. So he said, he needs it just like we need your limp. Meaning he definitely needs it. Why did it bother him? He was the elder. So the idea is that Rabban Gamliel didn't really fulfill his father's place. He wasn't as great as his father. He wasn't as smart as his father, but he was as Yerechet. So Rebbe said, even though he's not as smart, and Shimon is the smart one, but because he's bigger in Yerechet, he's going to take my place. Hanina, yeah.
The guy who went up to the roof?
Yeah.
Was he mourning on the fact that he missed the last... Was he mourning on the fact that he died, or on the fact that he didn't get the Olam Haba?
I think the Olam Haba. That's what it sounds like. Chanina Bachama Yeshev Rosh. He said Chanina Bachama will sit in the head. Afat Biken Lo Malach Rabbi Chanina. Nonetheless, Rabbi Chanina didn't take the position of leadership because Rabbi Ephes was greater than him. He was older, 2 years older than him. So he said, let Rabbi Ephes be rabbi. And he did a smart thing, because if Rabbi decreed that Rabbi Chanina would be head, then in heavens they say that's still going to happen. So in heavens they extended here. Now he gave Rabbi Ephes to be chief rabbi. So Rabbi Ephes became chief rabbi until Rabbi Ephes passed away, and then Rabbi Chanina became the chief rabbi. And here we have a story about that. We're going to skip the story. The juicy part of the story is just where we're holding. But I think the guys have to get to bed. One of the things you guys got to do, Ben Zvan, is get decent sleep.
So you're saying either he extended his own life, or he shortened the life of his predecessor.
Seems like he extended his own. That's what it seems like. No, you guys have to get normal sleep. So
yeah, we're getting
it's party time now.
So whoever wants, we have to make an open door policy. Whoever wants can go. People shouldn't feel bad. Whoever wants to stick around.
We should command them. We should say so.
No. So we're going to run forward. But when my wife comes, we have to stop. I got to help put away the groceries. So.
Well, I got the pizza, so.
Go ahead. Have a good night, Michael. So the Gemara asks, how come Rebbe appointed Rabbi Chanina as the head if Rabbi Chiya was around? Rabbi Chiya was Rebbe's top disciple. He was a great wise Talmud Chacham. Why wasn't he appointed the head of the yeshiva? So the Gemara tries to offer an answer. The Gemara says Rabbi Chiya had died already. Nach nafshe. He had passed away. And then the Gemara is going to disprove. The Gemara says, how could that be? V'amar Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya said, Ani ra'iti kivro shel Rebbe. V'orati lav mot. Rabbi Chiya said, I saw Rebbe's burial plot. I visited his caver. And I cried over it. So it can't be that Rabbi Chiya died before Rebbe, right? So the Gemara says, Ipo. Switch it around. Rebbe says, I saw Rabbi Chiya's burial plot and I cried over it.
That's a good phrase. What's that?
Ipoch. By the way, Ipoch. Like Hafuch. Switch it around. The quote must be wrong. So the Gemara says, Mama Rabbi Chiya, to yom shemet Rebbe bat lakuna. But Rabbi Chiya said, on the day that Rebbe passed away, we disregarded kahuna. Even the Kohanim came to the eulogy. Everyone came. That's why you asked me before about do Kohanim also go? So here we see that there are certain rabbis that for them, even Kohanim go to the burial. Ipoch. So say that, no, Rabbi Chiya didn't say that about Rebbe. Rebbe said that about Rabbi Chiya. V'ha Tanya, k'shechala Rebbe alach Rebbe Chet zom tzo boche. But we have a Tanar quote that says that when Rebbe got ill and he knew he was on his way to pass, so Rabbi Chiya went to visit him and he found him crying. V'amale, and he said to Rabbi, Rabbi, Mipnemata boche, why are you crying, Rabbi? V'atanya, but we know we have a Tanai quote. Met mitoch haschok, if a person dies laughing, dies out of happiness, simania felo, it's a good sign. mitocha bechi, if he dies out of crying, siman ralo, it's a bad sign. So Rebbe, why are you crying? Now, we're going to see later on, Rebbe was in pain. But that didn't seem to be reason to cry. Rebbe Chiya asked him, you know you're on the verge of dying, so it's a good thing to die out of a smile, so why are you crying? So we see that Rebbe Chiya was around on the day Rebbe died. He didn't pass away before. And now we're just going to finish off this Tanakh quote. If a person passes away panav lemala with his face upward, siman yafelo, it's a good sign. Panav lemata with his face down, siman ralo, it's a bad sign. Panav klape akotel, if he's facing the wall, siman ralo, it's a bad sign. Panav klape am, if he's facing the people, siman yafelo, it's a good sign. Panav tzuvim, if his face is yellow, if his face is shiny, siman yafelo, it's a good sign. Panav yirukim, if his face is green, siman ralo, it's a bad sign. Met be'erev Shabbat, if he died on the eve of Shabbos, siman yafelo, it's a good sign. Motzei Shabbat, as Shabbos leaves, siman ralo, it's a bad sign. Be'erev Yom HaKippurim, on the eve of Yom Kippur, if he passes away, siman ralo, he died on Shabbos. It's a bad sign. Be'motzei Yom HaKippurim, if he died just after Yom Kippur, he just got atonement, siman tovlo, it's a good sign. Be'choli me'ayim, if a person died out of stomach issues, siman yafelo, it's a good sign. She'o banch tzadikim etim choli me'ayim. Most of the tzadikim die because of stomach issues. So that after we finish this Tanakh quote, we're asking, wait a second. So Rabbi Chiya asked Rabbi, why are you crying? Amale. So Rabbi told him, I'm crying over the Torah and the mitzvahs that I'm no longer going to be able to perform. I value what I've been doing in this world. I've been performing Torah, mitzvahs my whole life, and now the show is almost over.
What is stomach issues?
Good question. Ibai tema, I don't know. Eipuch. You could say maybe like Ari offered, switch it around. This whole conversation went all the way. Another possible answer is that the reason Rebbe didn't appoint Rebbe Chiya as the chief rabbi was because Rebbe Chiya sek b'mitzvot ave. Rebbe Chiya was busy with important mitzvot. Usvala lo afagri. And Rebbe said, I won't stop him from his important mitzvot. What were Rebbe Chiya's important mitzvot? Now the Gemara is going to tell us. Dehainu dechikamintzu Rebbe Chiya v'Rebbe Chanina. This is that when Rebbe Chiya and Rebbe Chanina, who did Rebbe appoint as the chief of the yeshiva? Rebbe Chanina. The Gemara is saying, who should he have appointed? Rebbe Chiya. Rebbe Chiya was tops. But Rebbe Chiya was busy with important mitzvot, and Rebbe didn't want to stop him from his important mitzvot. What were his important mitzvot? Amale Rebbe Chanina Rebbe Chiya, when they would argue, Rebbe Chanina would tell Rebbe Chiya, you shouldn't be arguing with me. Halachically, I have greater halachic weight. Ba'adei didikam, and that's it. You're arguing with me. Dimchas v'shlom shtakhat v'am Yisrael. If the Torah would, God forbid, be forgiven from Israel, matan lem pilpulan. I could bring it back out of my pilpul. I got it so sharp, God gave me such a gift, I could bring back the whole Torah with my pilpul. Halachically, I got more weight. What are you arguing with me for? Amale Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Chiya said, Ana aved nad lo tishtkach to Am Yisrael. I ensured that the Torah would never be forgotten from Israel. Zarana kitana. I planted cotton. Vavedna nishbe, and out of that cotton that I planted, I made nets. I made traps. Utseedna tavia, and I caught deer. Varechna Megillata, and from those deer I made, from their hide, I made parchment. Uchtavena Chamisha Chumshei Torah L'Chamshei Yonukei. I wrote 5 books of the Torah for 5 children. Vatnai Shita Sidle Shita Yonukei. And I taught by heart the 6 Dharma Mishnah to 6 children. Lechol Chad V'Chad, each one that I taught his book of the Torah or his book of the Mishnah, Amrile, I told him, Atni Esidach L'Chavrach. Teach your friend what you know. I taught you, now you got 5 of you, each one will teach the other one, you'll get the whole Torah. I taught 6 of you the Mishnah, each one will teach the other one, each one I taught one Seder, one order of the Mishnah, each one will teach the other one, and you'll get the whole Mishnah. So what was Rabbi Chiya busy doing? Teaching little children. Making traps, catching so that the Torah that he teaches little children will come in the purest fashion, that every action that brings him to this teaching will be pure. So he didn't go out and buy a chumash. He said, no, maybe the chumash wasn't written on a good parchment. Maybe the parchment was stolen. Maybe it was taken in an improper way. Maybe the ink wasn't good. No, everything he took in a pious way. And then he said, when the foundation is pious, when we don't steal money in order to teach children, then I could teach them the Torah. So now after he ensured that everything's pure, he's teaching little children. So this is what Rabbi Chiya was busy with. And Rabbi said, if he's busy with this mitzvah, it's more important than being chief rabbi in my yeshiva. So that's why Rebbe didn't appoint him as the Rosh Yeshiva. Yeah?
How do we know that one of those deers wasn't stolen and on the way the thief lost this one of the deers and someone's missing a deer and got the deer that was missing? He didn't put a sign up and saying that.
That's a good question.
He didn't put a deer out along with the deer. He could have technically been someone else's deer.
The answer for that would entail understanding laws of ownership.
Right.
It's a good question, but we would have to go into two things: laws of ownership and laws of what halachic assumptions we're allowed to make.
You're saying it might have been that stolen so much, is it? But it could have also been a stolen deer where we don't take.
Could be, right? So you're right. We have to discuss it. That's a good point. There is such a concept in the Mishnah. That if we're going to worry this much, then in advasof, then there's no limit. Once you cross a certain border, we say, okay, then worry about everything. So, you're right. It needs a discussion. You're right.
That means worry about everything or worry about nothing?
No, worry about everything. Then once you worry this much, then how do you know where to stop?
So it means don't worry about that, though.
We mean don't worry about it, because if you cross this border, then there's no limit. The Hainu Dama Rebbe, and that's what Rebbe used to say, Kama Gdolim Maase Chiyah, how great are the actions of Chiyah. Amar Le Rebbe Shimon Berebi, Afilu Minach. So Rebbe Shimon, Rebbe's son, asked him, is what Rebbe Chiyah doing bigger than what you do? Rebbe, you're teaching all of Israel. You compile the Mishnah. Rebbe, you're the greatest sage. You're saying Rebbe Chiyah is so great. Is he bigger than you, Dad? Amar Lehin. So Rebbe said, yeah. See how important it is to teach children? Told him, yeah. So Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi asked Rabbi, Afilu Ma'aba? Is Rabbi Chiyah even bigger than my father, Rabbi Yossi? Amale Chas V'Shalom. I said, no, I wouldn't go that far. Rotei Kazot B'Yisrael. No one in Israel should speak that way. He's not bigger than your father, Rabbi Yossi. Amale En Livnei Akatan Anitzrich. He said, I need my small son. Nichnas Shimon Etzlo. So Shimon, the younger son, went into him. Umasalo Sidrei Chochma. He gave him the orderings of wisdom. Amalein, he told the people, Livni gadol ani tzarich, I need my big son. Nechnas Gamliel ben also Gamliel went in, umasalo sidren siut, and he told them how to act in princehood. Amalein, nehagni siutcha baramim, he told Rabbi Gamliel, act in your princehood, in the elevated status, up high. Uzok maravetan midim, and make the students be scared of you. You're the prince, you gotta enforce your position. So the Gemara asks, "Ini, really? The way that a pious person acts is that he gives honor to God-fearing people. And our sages taught us that's Yehoshaphat, the king of Yehuda. When Yehoshaphat, even though he was king, he was the head. He was in a greater position than Nasi. When he taught, see a Talmid Chacham, he'd stand up in honor of the Talmid Chacham. He'd hug him. He'd kiss him. And he'd tell him, Rabbi Umori, my teacher, my master. So you see that we value when a leader gives honor to Tamidei Chachamim. So what's Rebbe telling his son? Take positions of leadership and even the rabbis make him have respect. What's going on here? So we say no, lo kasha, that's not a contradiction. There's a difference between the behavior in private and in public. Even Yehoshaphat, when he was in public, he'd make the rabbi stand in his honor. He's king. And this is what the Rambam rules. That there's a balance between a Navi, even a prophet, or a great rabbi, and a king. In public, the prophet has the spouse giving honor to the king. The king is the leader. In private, the king should bow down and give honor to the Torah authority. He should say, he should show his value for Torah. In public, the king's job is to be leader. So the same thing Rebbe was telling his son. In public, you have to ensure that your position of leadership is unchallenged. You run the show. And this, those of you who have been in the Intro to Talmud class, gives us a lot of insight into the different stories that we learned during the year about the issues Rabbi Gamliel had, be it with Rabbi Yoshua, be it with other students, with Rabbi Natan, all the things we saw. No, with Rabbi Natan, it wasn't this Rabbi Gamliel, but anyways.
Yeah, a lot of times the king is the prophet also, right?
Sometimes, yeah.
So, let's say with David and Shmuel.
So, Shmuel was his Rabbi? Shmuel was his Rebbe, Iraya Iri was his Rebbe, Natan was his Rebbe. Rebbe mutal b'tzipori u'makon mukhan lo b'vet sharim. Rebbe was situated in Tzipori, in the mountains, and his burial plot was ready for him in Bet Sharim. That's the street Bet Sharim. So there was a place, a village called Bet Sharim. That's what this street is named after. So the Gemara says, but we say that Rebbe himself used to live in Bet Sharim. So Gemara says, yeah, when he got ill, they took him up to Tzipori to have better air, so feel better. Sorry.